The Jewish faithful have given themselves this weekend onto the full Sabbath of Yom Kippur. They have forsaken all other tasks. Many have fasted and they have asked for forgiveness from their God. They have put aside everything else to stand in awe. We gather, if only for this short hour, to follow in this tradition set forth by our brothers and sisters in faith, of foregoing everything else that might steal our attention in favor of forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving another, asking for forgiveness from that which we understand as holy or as ultimate. Let us enter in reverently, aware that this is an awesome purpose. And let us enter in tenderly, aware that each of us comes here with a unique burden to set down.
This morning, I invite you to an extended meditative prayer in this season of Yom Kippur, exploring the depths of that spiritual discipline of forgiveness. In this ritual, we will share a couple of readings, A Place to Forgive and Be Forgiven by Kathy Cartwright and Map of the Journey in Process by Victoria Safford. So we enter into this space of depth as we each are called, some finding a soft meditation, a deep reflection, or an ardent prayer. Each as we are called, but all together. We enter into this space by hearing the lamentations, the requests, and remembrances of this community. We hear one another to heal one another. May our listening bring forth acts of love. Let us be at peace with our bodies and our minds. Let us return to and become holy ourselves. Let us be aware of the source of being common to us all and to all living things. Let us pray that we cease to be the cause of suffering to each other. With humility and awareness of the sufferings all around us, let us establish peace in our hearts and on earth.
My journey at UU Montclair has been one of seeking the meaning of forgiveness. I was stuck for many years thinking that forgiveness meant that a wrong that had been committed against me would be wiped away and I would be whole again. But my journey through this place helps me see that I can accept and live in the imperfections of my life, in my limitations, and in others' limitations. I have faith in the struggle and in the journey, and faith in the challenges that still lie before me. I can forgive, I can release, I can experience compassion for others' limitations and for my own. In the words of Victoria Safford, "Here is where I found my voice and chose to be brave. Here is a place where I forgave someone against my better judgment, and I survived that. And unexpectedly, amazingly, I became wiser.
Here is where I was once forgiven, was ready for once in my life to receive forgiveness and to be transformed. I survived that also. I lived to tell the tale."
This is the place where I said no, more loudly than I thought I ever could. And everybody stared, but I said no loudly anyway, because I knew it must be said. And those staring settled down into harmless, ineffective grumbling. And over me, they had no power anymore.
Here is a time, and here's another, when I laid down my fear and walked right on into it, right up to my neck into that roiling water.
Here is where cruelty taught me something. And here is where I was first astonished by gratuitous compassion and knew it for the miracle it was, the requirement it is. It was a trembling time.
And here, much later, is where I returned the blessing clumsily. It wasn't hard, but I was unaccustomed. It cycled round, and as best I could, I sent it back on out, passed that gift along. And this circular motion, around and around, has no apparent end.
Here's a place, a murky puddle, where I have stumbled more than once and fallen. I don't yet know what to learn there.
On this sight, I was outraged, and the rage sustains me still. It clarifies my seeing, and here's where something caught me. A warm breeze in late winter, bird song in late summer.
Here's where I was told that something was wrong with my eyes, that I see the world strangely. And here is where I said, yes, I know, I walk in beauty.
Here is where I began to look with my own eyes and listen with my ears and sing my own song, shaky as it is.
Here is where, if by surgeon's knife my heart was opened up, and here, and here, and here, and here. These are the landmarks of conversion.
Every single one of us has transgressed. We have all also been injured by those we love or count on. We all need to forgive and to be forgiven. Resisting forgiveness belies a yearning sometimes for revenge, a desire for an acknowledgement of our pain or betrayal. And by not letting go, we extend that episode of pain, and we honor that pain with our attention. Refusing to forgive, whether that someone even asks for it, is like swallowing a poison pill, hoping the other person will suffer. We harm ourselves when we withhold forgiveness. Lay down the urge to be avenged and breathe forgiveness in and out. Consider first someone you may resist forgiving, whether that person has asked for your forgiveness or not. Speak or think their name. Consider someone who you wish would forgive you, whether you asked for forgiveness or not. Can you love yourself enough to forgive yourself? Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Say that with me.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For those we have hurt in any way, whether through words or deed or thoughts.
Say it with me.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
For the excuses we have made just to be right.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For the blame we have placed on someone else. again and again.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For passing up the opportunity to help because we were afraid,
here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For hiding the truth from someone,
here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For working beyond the anger and resentment,
here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For the times I have not felt heard,
here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Forgiveness is never easy, whether for yourself or someone else.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
Here, in the name of all that each of us deems most holy within, we pray. Amen.
The ancient reading today is from the Old Testament, the Exodus chapter. It's called the Second Covenant with Israel from the Hebrew Scriptures. And immediately following that will be the modern reading, a poem by Judy Chicago called "And Then All That Has Divided Us Will Merge," from Exodus. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then all that has divided us will merge, and then compassion will be wedded to power, and then softness will come to a world that is harsh and unkind, and then both men and women will be gentle, and then both women and men will be strong, and then no person will be subject to another's will. And then all will be rich and free and varied. And then the greed of some will give way to the needs of many. And then all will share equally in the earth's abundance. And then all will care for the sick and the weak and the old. And then all will nourish the young. And then all will cherish life's creatures. And then everywhere will be called Eden once again.
So do you have the patience? Do you have the patience to peel an onion? And I don't just mean that paper thin layer on the outside, that one that just breaks off in your hands, that thin layer that is there because it has been touched by earth and by air. Do you have the patience to peel an onion, layer by layer by layer, all the way down to the heart? All of those thick layers, those layers filled with the lifeblood of the onion, those layers that when you peel them, some of the moisture of the onion spills forth and coats your hands in that acridness. And then it fills the air with that pain. Do you have the patience to peel an onion all the way down, even as your eyes fill with tears, even when you can no longer see the onion that you are holding? If you have the patience to peel an onion all the way to the heart, then you have the patience to forgive. It amazes me sometimes, the griefs and the grudges that I carry, the ones that I thought I let down long, long ago. There are some that come back up to me again. I thought, wait a second, I let go of that one a long time ago. Didn't I do that work? But I must have just peeled one layer down. I didn't get to the heart yet. I have a dear friend that I grew up with. We were actually born in the same hospital. We went to school for most of our years together. And this dear friend had an incredibly difficult upbringing. And because of that, I understand she is difficult to others. And almost every time I see her, she finds a way to push that button on me, that one that I don't want to be pushed, that one that I'm not ready to feel. And so I have a hard time forgiving this friend. I work on it. I peel one layer down. But then I find I haven't gotten all the way to the heart yet. The other person I need to forgive, it's going to sound strange because this person is way out there. Honestly, I only met them once in my life. It's my mother's father. My mother's father was terribly abusive. And when I asked my mom if I could meet him as a young child, I wanted to meet Grandpa. Who is this guy? My mom said no, and then finally she relented, and I met him once, and he was a strange, strange man. That's my only experience with him, but I have an experience with my mother. And I feel the way that her life was changed by him. And I haven't found a way yet to forgive that pain that is passed down from generation to generation, that lives in us, even when we've hardly ever met the beginning. Forgiveness is slow and it is delicate and it is always multitudinous, multilateral, multiform. It is always just plain multi. We are easily waylaid by imagining that we need to begin by forgiving the person who has harmed us. But really, before we get to that work, we often need to forgive ourselves. For what? For perhaps the perceived slight of being susceptible. I know that it's a struggle for my forgiveness of my friend. Why, I wonder, does her manner always catch me off guard? And when it comes to the forgiveness of my mother's father, which feels so very removed from my person, I need to understand why it's actually so very close. How the abuse he caused the woman who bore me affected pain that the generations have to shoulder. The sacred act of forgiveness was necessary long before religious systems codified rites, practices, and images of forgiving saviors. The need to forgive and be forgiven is even older, I believe, than humanity. It is the way life itself sets down its burdens. We can witness the power of this act by watching great apes and elephants bow before those they have harmed. We can even see it less grandiosely, perhaps, in our cats and dogs when they hide themselves in the corners after having stolen some choice cut from the table. Religion has evolved as a space for forgiveness in direct proportion to the complexity of the task for our species. And forgiveness has gotten more complex simply because we have evolved to know with greater precision the effects, psychological as well as physical, that we have on one another and our world. Nearly every time I turn on a faucet, I consider conservation and wonder if I might have used less. When I fly to some destination, I'm aware of the way that the jet fuel is carving up our atmosphere. I buy a t-shirt, and I remember the hands of the young child I saw working on a loom in Egypt, and I wonder, was my t-shirt crafted by such harm? And when I make my way through the grocery store with a frown on my face, with a scowl and a bad attitude, I think about the ways that smiles can literally be life-saving. Why didn't I just slap one on before I went in there? When Isaac Newton said, "I'm standing on the shoulders of giants," he meant it as praise for those who came before. Living today, I'm aware of all the privileges I wear, which allow me to ride on the shoulders of others. Yes, I know that to be white and cisgendered makes me more attractive to employers, that it wins me certain comforts, that I likely won't be shot by a policeman, that if I had children, especially boys, I wouldn't have to fear day and night for their safety. Right? These are the shoulders that I stand upon to win privileges that I didn't ask for, but privileges I sure as heck enjoy. I was preparing for a yoga class a few weeks back. And in a yoga class, I usually begin with my head on the floor. And so I was sitting down and I could just hear the room behind me. I couldn't see who was coming in. I knew that the room was very full. Oh, the mats almost covered the entire space. And I heard someone come in behind me and try and make a space for themselves. And I heard my teacher say these words. She said, "I'm so sorry, you have to go to the back. I'm so sorry, you have to go to the back." And I heard a whole lot of pain in her voice when she said it. And my head was down, and I didn't understand. And I'm thinking, why is my teacher apologizing personally for something that she can't possibly control? The room is full. It's all of our jobs to make space. When I lifted my eyes up later and I looked behind me, I saw that the woman who had come in late had a deep, dark, brown skin. My teacher was apologizing personally for the slight of having a full room, but what she said was, "I'm sorry, you have to go to the back of the bus, to the back of the room." The apology was one tiny layer of forgiveness, a personal forgiveness, but it was filled with a depth that is the forgiveness that our whole world needs to make for the slights that our whole world perpetuates. We literally steal collective guilt and wear it and feel it as personal failure. And maybe we've always done that, but I'd argue that the scale has increased. We learn often as youth to take on what we cannot truly shoulder, perhaps as a means, as a failed means to control the incontrollable. A child learns to stay still and be extra good to mitigate the ill caused by an alcoholic parent. A victim of rape judges herself for somehow allowing the evil that befell her body. If we can pinpoint the failure, whether in ourselves or in another, if we can name the place, if we can see the place, which is easier than a person than anywhere else, perhaps we can fix it. If it's a place we can control, maybe we can prevent it in the future. That's what we hope. But what we achieve is not control. It's a burden that often prevents us from getting to the real work. Sue Klebold, mother of Dylan Klebold, one of the two Columbine shooters, felt the full brunt of our nation's righteous blame after her son did the unthinkable. Society wanted to believe that Dylan was innocent. How could a child be a murderer? So many turned to Judge Sue, feeling she must have done something terribly wrong. Strangers wrote her, thousands and thousands. And folks stopped her in the grocery store and they asked, "Didn't you hug him? Didn't you tell him you loved him? Why? It is wholly unnerving, terrifying, in fact, to imagine that a loved child, a child brought up in the arms of compassion, could be so violent. We prefer the scenario where a controllable factor was the cause. So we blame the mother. So we blame ourselves. So we heft the weight of woe on our own shoulders or the shoulders of someone we can write off, if only to make it understandable, if only to pull it within our grasp. Do you feel this weight at times? Do you? A weight that you have hefted onto your own shoulders, a weight perhaps that others or perhaps our society in general has lain on you. Would you like to set it down? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Would you like to set it down? We might not really want to set it down. We might not want to let ourselves off that easy, just as we might not want to let the one who harmed us off easy. Don't they deserve punishment? Don't we? Forgiveness might be in conflict with other values that we uphold, such as self-respect, self-defense, or allegiance to the moral order. But here's the truth about forgiveness. It is not an act of dismissal. In the book, Our Story of Rape and Reconciliation, Thordis Elva reflects, "Forgiveness is not about laying your blessing on top of the pain that was caused. It is about unveiling the pain that was caused. Forgiveness is not sacrificial. It's not something you give. It's an act of self-interest, self-empowerment, and release. Forgiveness is not laying a blessing on top of the pain. It's about unveiling the pain that was caused. And this is impossible as long as we deflect our focus, attending instead to blame, guilt, innocence, or punishment." I asked when we began if you had the patience to peel an onion all the way to the heart, to the core, because that is what it requires for forgiveness. The process is slow, and there are layers to release that will churn up holy hell. And still, there will be miles to go before we sleep. It is less about an act on one Sunday at one time of the year, as it is an attitude. Not so much a duty as a love that we give ourselves. A love that we give ourselves. And you deserve that love. Call to mind the forgiveness that you have not been able to let go, the forgiveness that you have not been able to achieve. Earlier, we worked on forgiveness together in our meditative prayer. We'll return there now. We are peeling down the layers. We are getting closer to the heart and perhaps getting closer to the pain. We do this together in this space because our collective act resonates. We realize that we are not alone in the need to forgive and be forgiven. This work, it's not mine. It's not yours. It's not yours. It is all of ours. So join with us again. Now perhaps we'll go just a little bit deeper.
Here
is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
For the excuses we have made just to be right.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For the blame we have placed on someone else again and again.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
For passing up the opportunity to help because we were afraid.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. For hiding the truth from someone.
Here
is a place to forgive
and to be forgiven.
For working beyond the anger and resentment.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
For the times I have not felt heard.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
Forgiveness is never easy, whether for yourself or someone else.
Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven.
And this place, this sacred place, this place of forgiveness has changed us, and oh, may it be so. If we have laid our burdens down, let us walk away with a newfound freedom, a lightness, a release, even a new name, a new way to be our full selves. We and our world will be better for it. Amen.
Amen. Do you have a new name? Is it maybe Forgiven? Could Forgiven be a name that you wear today? A reminder of the fact that you are worthy of love, your love and the love of others, the love of this community and the love of this world, not because we are perfect. Lord knows we're not. But because only when we are able to be forgiven and forgive are we able to be our full, beautiful, imperfect selves. May you go forth today with that new name. And let us extinguish our chalice, but hold the light that it brings us. Our worship has ended. Our service goes on. Amen.